Well, good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're off to a great Feast of Tabernacles. Wasn't that a fantastic opening service last night? The video, the song, Mr. Kubik's welcome, and that was truly a great time. Well, it's a fantastic service that we're here to observe. You know, we may not have thought about it this way, but God the Father, the greatest being in existence, is our host at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he has been throughout the years since he proclaimed it way back in the Old Testament. God commands us to rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles. In Deuteronomy, let's take a look at that, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Where it says, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And notice verse 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your maidservant and your manservant, and the Levite and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates. Think about that. Everyone is supposed to rejoice in the Feast of Tabernacles, even a stranger that is within your gates. So we see here that God has commanded us to rejoice here, and let's look at one other scripture to show that he really drives it home to us in Leviticus 23 and verse 40. Leviticus 23, verse 40, where he said, you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You know, he stresses over and over again that we're to rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles. So I hope we're doing that and that we set our minds to do that. You notice that everyone is to rejoice. No one is left out. Your servants, your children, the Levite, the fatherless, the widow, strangers among you, everyone is to rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles. That word for rejoice is samech, S-A-M-E-A-C-H. It's translated to be happy 34 times, to rejoice 84 times. This is an Old and the New Testament. 84 times to be joyful, and to be glad. There are numerous other words for rejoice, such as to leap about, to shout, to sing, to be happy. Let's make sure our families have every reason to rejoice, our little ones, so that they know that the Feast of Tabernacles is something special. Really a great time for everybody. You know, I was thinking about our beginning service last night, and how well that fit into God's instruction for all of us to rejoice. You know, that video, the song they sang, and even a song service last night, and also our message. Everything was just full of enthusiasm and joy, and I certainly appreciated that. We have it so much better than the original ones keeping the feast that God told us, told to rejoice. They had to cut branches and dwell in booths with no running water, no air conditioning, and we live in motels that they would consider the height of luxury, with running water, soft beds to sleep on, and we don't have to cut any branches from any trees. I mean, how can it get much better than that? As we go through this feast, let's be sure that we rejoice in it, not only it, but in future things. In fact, God intends us to rejoice continually as His people. He wants His people to learn to live with an attitude of rejoicing. The feast pictures the millennium, which will be a time of continually rejoicing, as Christ tells us to enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He didn't say enter into the sadness and the weariness. He said enter into the joy of your Lord. In the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament, there are more than 282 verses that are reminding us to rejoice. I haven't checked, but that may be more times than anything else that we're told. When Satan is out of the picture, brethren, it'll be a time of rejoicing, where he never adds in any of those dark shadows and all those problems that he causes, that he caused Eve in the very beginning. There won't be any more of that. It will be all a time of rejoicing. Satan will be put into the bottomless pit, you know, when Christ returns. And then later on, he'll be loosed for a little season to be sure that those who won't rejoice and don't want to rejoice and don't want to serve God, he'll be loosed to point out and to show who those people are that will never rejoice. And then he'll be, of course, cast into the lake of fire. Here at the feast, let's surely rejoice as God tells us to do. Let's realize how truly blessed we are in this age, even dealing with minor inconveniences or even more serious problems. Let's always remember in many scriptures, God's people are promised eternal life, and eternal life is to be a time of rejoicing eternally. We will take up a holy day offering today. God instructs us to do that at the Feast of Tabernacles, and as well as his other holy days. And we'll look over at that in Deuteronomy, the standard scriptures that you all know by heart, but we'll look them over again. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, where we read, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now, we would appreciate it if you used the green envelopes for your offering. It makes it so much easier to count and to handle. So please, if you need a green envelope, Please hold up your hand, and the ushers will pass one to you. Well, God gives us the greatest reason of all to rejoice, which is the opportunity. Now think about this. It's the opportunity to have our part in the most wonderful work of all time. You know, it wasn't the Roman Empire, it wasn't all these other things, but it's God's work, the greatest being in existence. And He's given us a chance to have a part in that work. That's really, you know, that's the work of getting out the gospel. The greatest reason of all to rejoice is we get the message out to people who are looking for God's truth and can't find it anywhere else. I know my wife and I were that way 53 years ago, and we were looking for the truth, and I had taken some courses in Bible at Ashland University of Ashland, Ohio, and we were looking for the truth, and my wife signed up for the Plain Truth magazine. That was 53 years ago, and we've rejoiced in being able to help with God's work ever since. Christ tells us in John 8 and verse 32, and it's probably a memory verse for all of you. John 8 verse 32, where He says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Think about that. When you give an offering and you help somebody find the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Look at the world around you today. Those people out there aren't free. They don't know who to believe. There's, what, some 500 different types of Protestant denomination, and that's an old figure. There's probably many more of people who don't know. They wish they knew. They'd love to serve the truth, but they don't know the truth. And brethren, you're helping them to find the truth, and the truth will set them free. Now, we think about, you know, finding the truth for those who are poor. And that's great. But there are rich people who are poor in spirit. And when we, with our new telecast system and our new way that the Beyond Today is presented, it's a way that will catch the attention of people who might be wealthy and tired of hearing all these things that are not true, and hearing people guess. Think of how that will go when they hear the truth on a certain subject and it's carried through and explained so that they can know and look in their Bible and find out if what's being said is true. That will be truly a great time that each of our offerings go to bring about. God says we're always to open our hand wide to the poor, and the poor will always be with us. But like I say, when we give, we're not only helping the poor, we're helping the rich who can't find the truth, and the truth to set those people free. So now we'll go ahead and take up the offering. We have special music for the offering here, the offertory music piece, is O Worship the King. O Worship the King by Johann Haydn, arranged by Dottie Stewart and performed by Dottie Stewart. So at this time now, then, we'll take up the offering.